Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
That is the Denver Nuggets Radio Network. I am Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Network. We are coming to you coast to coast. We are on the Odyssey app, which is free to download and then subsequently free to listen to. It's free. You can also grab us on Sirius XM. We're on channel 375. Should you be in the area or market for that service, and many different affiliates across the country, far and wide. I am Bart Winkler. That's Carlos Ortiz. Marco Belletti on the updates. So the Pacers beat the Cavs on Sunday, all right? We talked about that a little bit. The games on Monday night, the two NBA games, and this is after a weekend where, hey, the NBA games weren't so good. Maybe the NHL games were a little better. Yeah, the difference between playoff hockey and playoff basketball. Well, tonight bucked that trend entirely, because on Monday night you had two games back-to-back that were insane, that had insane finishes, insane comebacks. This may have been the best collective night of NBA playoff basketball in a long time. I mean, for both of these games to deliver the way that they did. The Celtics at one point had a 97% chance to win. They're up 20 minutes or 20 points with 5 minutes to go in the third. Well, let me give you a list. I'll give you a list of teams that have won a playoff game in overtime despite being down at least 15 points at halftime. So teams that have won a playoff game in overtime despite being down 15 or more points at halftime. So obviously that happened tonight with the Knicks. And then 2019. It has never happened before. This is the first time that's ever happened. A wild comeback, a crazy comeback. The Celtics, 15 of 60 from three, if you can believe it. 15 of 60 from three. That means they missed 45 threes. That means they missed a three-point shot like every minute and 2 seconds. Pretty remarkable. Playoff record, you would assume, and you would be right. Then you had the Denver Nuggets, who were down, you know, 10, 12, 8, 10 points most of this game, coming back and just completely blowing their chance to win. And it wasn't, I'm thinking of the Bucks game 5 against the Pacers, where they blew it by not inbounding the ball correctly. They blew it by not being able to catch passes and the ball going out of bounds. They blew it based on their play. This game was blown based on their decision-making, where they were fouling, the Thunder were fouling the Nuggets while the Thunder were up three, because they didn't want to get burned on a three-point shot, even though it would have just tied the game. They would have gone to overtime. They didn't want that to happen. There was one point where even Jokic wasn't on the court and they did that. And he's the guy you got to be, you know, afraid of. You let maybe somebody else try to beat you. And that's what happened. Chet Holmgren has two free throws to try to at least get back up to three, in which they probably would have fouled again, but he missed them both. Aaron Gordon got the ball and knocked down a three. Now, a little bit earlier, SGA got an inbound and went straight to the hoop and then scored. Should have maybe dribbled it out more. So a lot of decisions down the stretch there that didn't work well. And that's interesting, because while the Thunder I think should still be the favorite here. This is a team that the general manager, the coach, they're highly regarded. The roster construction, very good. To get to this point, they lost to a Denver team who a month ago fired those guys in those positions. The head coach. And the general manager. So, very interesting stuff. Now, there was a moment where it looked like Jokic was kind of coaching. I'm telling you, something that bothers me quite a bit is this narrative that Nikola Jokic doesn't care about basketball because he wanted to get back to tend to his horses and not go to a parade. You watch this guy play. You watch this guy compete. I'm not sure there's a guy that cares about basketball more. Quite honestly. I mean, he's essentially out there coaching. With all due respect to David Adelman, who has taken over and done a decent job. I mean, you got to think that he's earning the job for the following season. Jokic tonight. Let me tell you his final stat line. It's bewildering for a playoff game. 42 points, 22 rebounds, 6 assists. He is just the fourth player in NBA history to put up at least 40, 20, and 5 in a playoff game. And he doesn't care? You're telling me he doesn't care? No. So what you've got here in the NBA is you've got a second round where you've got three different series so far that have started. And they have started with the road team getting the victory. I don't know the last time that that's happened. It certainly doesn't seem very common. But by the road team, the underdog team getting a victory, now you're putting pressure on the top seed. And that's kind of what you wait for. The series can't really get started until the lower seeded team gets a win on the road. Because then the home court advantage is out the window. And so all these series are fired up here and we're ready to go. And we got another good one tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to see game two of the Cavs and Pacers. Really got to focus on what that injury report is going to be. And I'll say it again about the Pacers. I'll talk out of both sides of my mouth. The good side. The Pacers understand who they are. They play the way that is most advantageous to them. They know who should do what, when, and where, and they do it. Nobody's going to guard Tyrese Halliburton? Okay. He'll just go to the rack every time. I mean, somebody, put up a wall or something. Or, like, put an arm out and try to stop him. My goodness. He's giving him whatever he wants. In crunch time, too, the Bucks let him have it, and the Cavs let him have it. But they actually should, like, let him have it. They're just, like, letting him take it. Tyrese wants to drive for a layup. Go ahead. Okay. After you, sir. Well, take your car, valet. No accommodations right there. Oh, yeah, take our nicest suite. What are you guys doing? Go get them. Pacers last year, my big gripe about them was they were being regarded as this new elite team on the block. But they were beating teams that were banged up and injured. Injured coming into the series and then getting further hurt as the series went on. And they didn't really win those two series last year against Milwaukee and New York as much as they won the battle of attrition. And so this year they come back having learned nothing, still as cocky and arrogant as ever, and they beat a Bucks team that came in hurt. Damian Lillard that can't play right away and then plays a little bit and then pops his Achilles. Now you got the Cavs who, without Darius Garland, and now Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter, Kenny Atkinson saying they might even be doubtful, that there's real concern. Well, now they might be able to exploit another team and their injuries. Is that just because the Pacers play a physical brand of basketball that nobody can match? I don't think so. But that is what's happening here up to this point. So three series have started, and the three series that have started with surprises. And not just that the road team won, but how they've won. You know, close, competitive games. The game on Sunday, the Pacers and the Cavs were kind of back and forth until the Pacers just ripped it out of them in the fourth quarter. They just kind of went for it and took it. I mean, Cavs had the lead. And then the Pacers are like, nah, you know what? We're just going to win now. I'm just going to win. They had the lead 6 minutes to go, and then the Pacers took it and never looked back. It was kind of a slow death from there. Knicks were down 20. Came back to win in overtime. Thunder got a little too cute. Maybe a little too analytical with what they were thinking. Thunder. Cavaliers. Celtics. Home, home, home. Loss, loss, loss. Will the same trend happen on Tuesday night? With the Minnesota Timberwolves, will they lose a game at home? Well, here's the thing. They're the underdog. They're the sixth seed. But now they happen to be playing a seven seed. And I think with Minnesota, you know, they were just trying to avoid the play-in a few weeks ago. Now they're getting to host a second-round game. Really, I don't know. This could be – I haven't seen the line on this series. I would probably – think it's pretty tight. I mean, Anthony Edwards has become a legend killer in the playoffs. He's been knocking out guys left and right, including now LeBron James, this last one. The Warriors, a completely different team prior Jimmy Butler to post Jimmy Butler. Although on Sunday it was Buddy Hield who had to hit 9 threes to get him to where they needed to go. But there's a lot of history between these teams without them really having history between these teams. Like it almost feels like a inner or like a not a conference matchup. Outside of the playoffs, I mean, when do you ever see the Warriors play the Timberwolves at all? This is their first playoff matchup against each other ever. So we have not seen this yet. There's a lot of ties that bind these two teams. Back in 2009, the Minnesota Timberwolves had picks 5 and 6, and the Warriors had picks 7. The Timberwolves took Ricky Rubio and then Johnny Flynn, two guards, passing over Steph Curry not once, but twice. The Wolves and the Warriors were 1-2 atop the board in 2020. Anthony Edwards seemed like the number one pick, and he was. But could they have made a different selection? Because if they did, maybe Anthony Edwards goes to the Warriors at 2. Boy, that would have been something. But they took James Wiseman instead. So the Timberwolves did the right thing. The Warriors did not. Jonathan Kuminga did get a little bit of time in Game 7, and I mean a little bit of time. That did not seem to be working. The guy who's been untradeable in so many trade discussions is now somewhat unplayable when it comes to where the Warriors are at. Jimmy Butler is a big part of this series. All right, so there's another part of it. Kind of an ugly breakup there between Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves. and the Heat and the Bulls and the Sixers. And we'll see how it ends in Golden State. It's like Jimmy Butler, that always ends bad. He's like that girl that you know it's going to go poorly, but she's just so hot. But Jimmy Butler, always, when he comes to a new team, he always gives you this. I mean, he took the Heat to the finals a couple of times, right? A couple of times. He is great until he's not. And right now, he's in the great portion. Because it's the early portion. So now he's going back to Minnesota, where he's played before. I mean, it's been a long time. This was back in 2018. But now, in a playoff series, you know, I don't know that he gets... Russell Westbrook got a warm reception from the Thunder crowd tonight as a member of the Denver Nuggets. Jimmy's not getting that. And then you have this rivalry between Draymond Green and Rudy Gobert, where a couple of years ago, Draymond Green just decided to choke Rudy Gobert. I mean, Green has made fun of Gobert a lot for crying and, you know, various different things. When they get on the court together, it's a battle. But then one year he just choked him. Now, a lot of people think Draymond should have got a flagrant or kicked out for an action last night where his arm got extended and hit Fred VanVleet. They made a great point on the broadcast. They were talking about whether or not to assess a flagrant foul to Draymond Green at one point. And they didn't say Draymond Green or Green. They just call him Draymond. When you're on a first name basis with the refs about flagrant fouls, you know that you've been a part of this conversation a time or two in the past. So we'll see. If it's been anything like the start of these playoffs, we should be in for some good stuff tomorrow night. And then I believe the games are going to be on a similar schedule. So this is what we're going to get now. We'll get Pacers, Cavs, and then Warriors, Timberwolves. Wednesday, we'll get the same thing we got tonight, Knicks, Celtics, Nuggets, Thunder. Thursday will be just Warriors, Timberwolves, and then Friday we'll get Cavs, Pacers, Nuggets, Thunder, and game three will be in New York. So same for a little bit, and then they get that extra travel day once we get to this round. But a great night of the NBA, great night of NBA playoffs, maybe the best singular night with a couple of games that we've gotten in a long, long time. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Some reaction from those games and across the weekend when we get to guess what they said. That's coming up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Guess What They Said every Monday and Friday, pending one of us being here on the Bart Winkler Show in the Infinity Sports Network. Coast to coast. The only original segment we have, it's partially true. Everything we do is original, but nothing we do is original, except this segment right here.
Here's the gambit. I will give Bart five pieces of
audio. Who am I about to make a name for myself?
Oh, who is your dialect coach? We got to work on that. I will give Bart five pieces of audio, and he will attempt to guess what they said. It's an appropriate name for what we do on Mondays and Fridays here at this time. Bart, let's start here. The Boston Celtics take game one is a sentence everyone thought you would start the night with when you saw Knicks and Celtics on paper. But alas, the Knicks coming back down from 20. Steal game one from Boston. 108 to 105, your final there. It was incredible play coming down the stretch. Mikal Bridges, a huge steal to ice the game and close it out for the Knicks here. Let's start with the losers first. I want you to guess what Joe Mazzulla had to say on what the Celtics will work on in order to recover from this game one loss. This is 15 seconds long. Guess what the Boston head coach had to say.
Well, he does kind of give weird answers. So I don't think this has anything to do with basketball. I don't think he's going to say, like, we need to work on rebounds or making threes. I mean, he could say making threes. I'm going to say it's like we need to just find our inner peace, realize the we want to be, show up on time, get a good meal. Something other than what you would think the answer would be is the guess I am going to give.
Look at the process. So again, you know, this whether you win or lose, there's possessions that you have to get better at. You know, the staff, I'll get better at the things that we need to. We'll look at the attention to detail stuff that we have, and then we'll look at the process of what we did and see where we need to get better at it. So we'll do that tomorrow.
More basketball stuff.
Oh, good. The one time he answers a question like a normal human being.
And I usually put this in the first clip as a layup, and I guess it just rimmed out. But let's see if you can get back on track here. Let's go to the winning side of this game. Head coach Tom Thibodeau, I want you to guess what he said on what Mikal Bridges' biggest contribution to the game was. This one is 15 seconds as long as well. Guess what Tom Thibodeau had to say.
Well, it's obviously the steal, but just his effort, the way that he was able to play there, he played 48 minutes. We were able to rely on him. He was able to pick up minutes from other guys, and we could just count on him. Just to be so reliable, we can count on him. You don't have to put up 30 points to be a star. We know he's there. We count on him.
Mikal came up with some big-time rebounds in traffic. And then the steal at the end. And so whatever we have to do to find a way to win, that's the most important thing. So don't get wrapped up in any personal dilemmas or anything like that. Put the team first and just find a way to win.
Here's where you're getting the point, other than the fact that you did mention the steal. You took a look at his box score. He played 51 minutes in this game. It's absolutely brutal physical effort from Mikal Bridges. So because you noted, you know, the taking the minutes from other guys, playing alongside, that's obviously why you get the point. So you're back on track like you thought you would be. 1-1 going into clip number
wow,
three.
Wow, I appreciate that. I didn't expect such logical judging from you.
I always judge in this manner. You just get into your little hissy fits and you get inside your bag, as the kids like to say, and become extra emotional where you don't have to be. I am fair, impartial.
Yes, I agree.
It's not like AI, Bart. All right, let's go to clip number three here. On the other game in the Western Conference, Western semifinals, game one, Oklahoma City just giving the game away. 121-119. Nuggets get the win over here. And, I mean, they really just gave it away. The last couple of minutes is just really odd sequencing, where fouls were going back and forth. But Chet Holmgren misses a free throw. Aaron Gordon winds up getting the shot, drains it from three. I immediately tweeted out, I'm like, this guy does more than just dunk. It was an incredible shot. But just like we did in the first couple of clips here, let's go to the loser side. Here's SGA I want you to guess what he said his response to facing adversity for the first time in the playoffs. The Thunder have been rolling, but obviously now they get, you know, smacked in the face, lose game one. This one's 22 seconds long. I want you to guess what Gilgeous Alexander's response to facing adversity is.
For the first time, I feel like he's going to say, no, we faced adversity. I feel like he's going to say this. You know, this is the first time that they lost since April the 2nd?
Yeah, it's 6th. Been a while.
April the 6th. Well, they really haven't played much either. I say it's the first time they've lost since April the 6th. This has been their ninth game since April the 6th. Because they finished out the regular season, had the week off for the play-in, swept the Grizzlies. So, I mean, that's not a lot of games in the span of a month. Facing adversity for the first time? So you got to learn and you got to grow, and you can't have a playoff run without it. We've faced adversity before. We're no strangers to adversity. I just feel like he's going to go to that. You know, adversity pops up in a lot of different ways. I think I'm wrong. Shapes and forms, and we just got to come back and get stronger and learn from it. And we'll be right. We'll be right.
It should be good. It should be fun. We're going to find out what we're made of, what we're really made of. And we couldn't expect it to be smooth sailing this whole journey. No journey in life is, and we know that. Today is a bump in the road, unexpected. No one expects to lose, especially that way, but it's the game of life, so it's about how you respond to getting knocked down, and that's what we got to do next game.
Good college try, but he went the other way on it, as you heard from the audio there. So 1-2, you need this one to stay in the game. And I really hope you do get this, because it always makes those 2-2 cuts just extra special. So let's go to the winning side. Here's Aaron Gordon. I want you to guess what he had to say on what was the biggest factor of his game-winning shot. This is 13 seconds long. Guess what AG had to say.
Just to get it, to get the rebound. Russ made a great pass. I had some open space. And just... You know, we were fighting. We were resilient. We were hustling, and everybody contributed. I made the shot, but that was a team effort and a team play.
It really comes down to my teammates, like Russ making a great play and finding me in transition and in rhythm, you know, on time, on target. So it helps when you have a Hall of Fame passer passing to you.
Let me just say, well done.
Thank you.
Bravo. Regardless of whether or not you win or lose this next one, well done. Because that one could have been like, oh, you know what? I had space. I just saw an opportunity, and I jacked it up and hope it went in, and boom. So well done to give credit to Russell Westbrook, because that's what he did. So now let's switch it up. Those were the only two games in the NBA slate today. Let's go to old friend. Former Brewer, current Yankee, Devin Williams, no longer the closer in New York. They have put him on, try to ease him back into high leverage situations. He came in the eighth inning at a 4-1 lead. He gave up three runs to tie the game for the Padres. Luke Weaver eventually gave up the go-ahead win to the Padres. But either way, Devin Williams not looking too good. So I want you to guess what he had to say, 17 seconds long, on what was the biggest challenge tonight in the loss against the Padres.
Devin Williams on the biggest challenge?
Si, senor.
He's usually, like, so, not defiant, but he's so, like, why are you even asking me this when he answers questions like this? It was a tough night. Didn't have it. It's a challenge with every guy. You just try your best. Bad weather. Yeah, something like that. I think he's just going to be short and not give you much.
I feel good. I feel confident on the mound. I felt like I was in a good spot. You know, it's one of those nights where you're not only battling the hitter, I was battling the mound. So, you know, but we're all given the same set of circumstances, and you know, I couldn't pull through tonight.
Let me tell you, if you did not mention the weather at all, you would have lost. But because you did, and really, good for you. That's guess what they said.
You know, it rained in New York today, and there was a rain delay. And I don't know. I don't know if it's the curated account that I have, but the way that I was reading it was like, this was the first rain delay ever. What the hell is with you people? Can't have a little bit of rain? I guess, you know, we got a roof here in Milwaukee, so we don't have to deal with nights like this. We can buy a ticket and show up to the ballpark, and we know that we're going to be in for a good time.
What are you, Scooby-Doo? Okay. What the hell's a roof?
Yeah, I was hoping you didn't do that. What did I say? Roof? Roof?
Definitely not roof.
Roof? What is it?
It should be roof. But you went like rough.
They got a rough. I did say rough. They got a rough.
Just for that, you should lose. Guess what they said.
All right. Well, I'm going to flip it around because instead of talking about roofs, I need to talk about bunkers. We've dived. We've explored some conspiratorial things before on the show, right? I feel like as a late night show, there has to be some conspiracy talk. There just has to be. I mean, we're on it. We're on late. Well, a former government official is claiming that if an extinction level event happens, we will be okay. If you are super rich and wealthy, everybody else is screwed.
Yep, I'm dead.
There's a former government official who is giving credence to some of our wildest conspiracies. And so I must bring that to you. And I will do that coming up right after this update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler as we wrap things up on what was a pretty chaotic Monday as we take you into your Tuesday. Pat Boyle coming up for the next 4 hours on the Pat Boyle Show. Lots of NBA to discuss. I know he'll get into that. Lots of hockey to discuss. Again, regarding the basketball, you had a team down 20 points that came back to win in the New York Knicks. And you had a team that probably should not have won either that won because of a Thunder strategy to foul up three, even with Nikola Jokic not on the floor trying to check back in. So of the three series in the NBA right now that have started in the second round, all three of them have seen the road underdog get a victory. I am going to end the show tonight with a story that belongs in the final segment of a late night radio show. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of late night radio show. Not a lot of them out there that give you consistent shows each and every night. There's like three other dudes. And they're all pretty bad. Then there's me. Well, then Pat coming up. Pat. But late night radio was designed to have topics about conspiracies. And one conspiracy that I think a lot of us have thought, whether it's because of movies or we like see the construction around Mark Zuckerberg's home, is that the rich of the rich, the elite of the elite, the people who control basically everything we do, the people that make us fight each other so they can profit, those people, that should an asteroid come, or should a war break out, or should a volcano erupt, or should the aliens attack, they'll have a place to go. We're stuck to be on the front lines. Catherine Austin Fitz, in a recent interview, she was the Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President George H.W. Bush, claimed that between 1998 and 2015, at least $21 trillion in taxpayer dollars have been spent on building an elaborate network of subterranean cities underneath the United States, where the rich and powerful can shelter during a near extinction event. She says about 170 such bunkers have been built across the country in the last 25 years, some even below the oceans off the coast. The evidence she provided with this claim? None, of course, none. There's no evidence. But did say that a recent 2017 report from Michigan State, an economist there, indicated that there has been unauthorized spending uncovered across the Departments of Defense and Housing and Urban Development of that time. She's claiming that there are 170 bases underground on U.S. soil, more across the world, and they're connected by an elaborate transportation system. This according to the New York Post. She's also claiming that they are powered by a secret energy system known only to the military. I'm convinced that this energy exists. If you look at a lot of the really fast ships flying around the planet, they're not using classical electricity. Okay, so the more I read, the more I'm trying to think, like, who am I listening to here? During the Cold War, there was a mountain complex built inside a Colorado mountain to serve as a hardened base of operations for military operations. That's where the U.S. Space Force, real thing, is. And from the 50s through the 90s, there was a bunker intended to house all of Congress in the event of a breakout with the Cold War being held. She also claims that COVID-19 was a DNA-modifying vaccine and somehow a shadowy global cabal is trying to use mind control to enslave the world. So I'm not entirely sure that I should have read all this. Do you think there is an underground system, Carlos?
Yes.
Of homes and other shelters?
Yes. I mean, obviously, I would like to have evidence, but stranger things have been said. I actually do believe that there is some kind of contingency plan should an extinction level event happen to hit us. We are totally screwed. Anybody with less than 20
million.
Billion? 20 billion.
They're not saving like Timothy Mozgov here. He's screwed with the rest of us.
I don't think Mozgov kept any of that money. There's not that many billionaires in the world. It seems like there's so many. The vast majority of the wealth is literally concentrated within 1% to 2% of the world's population. That being said, if these bunkers were paid with taxpayer money, I want in. I'll be damned if I'm going to let Jeff Bezos, put his feet up on a queen bed that I paid for.
Yeah. And how much do you think you pay? How much of your taxes do you think went to?
30 cents, probably. But still, you know what? I want 30 cents of worth of life-saving measures. If that is a corner of a graham cracker, then you better give it to me. And as I'm dying, I'm going to eat it smugly.
Look, I try to keep an extra case of water on hand in case we lose water for a day or two. I try to keep like an extra battery power thing to in case I lose power for a day or two. And I got no money. And I'm thinking about even having that. If I was a billionaire, the first thing I would do is build an underground layer. I mean, bunker. The first thing I would do is build somewhere to be for when all of us are dead meat.
Inevitably.
I mean, that is the, like, oh, you want a new car, a new plane? No, all my money is underground in the bunker where I will live when this all goes. So I found that very interesting. And then, I don't know, I mean, she's got no evidence and she also... Food for thought.
Probably true.
Thanks to Carlos Ortiz. Marco Belletti, thanks to you. We'll be back tomorrow night. Pat Boyle up next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.